On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Unforced errors for a Sunday night, probably Monday morning for you. What's going on, everybody? We're back at it again. Bit of an announcement to make on this one, which hopefully you'll all be happy about. All of you but me. Also, man, a wild couple of days in the world of sports. One of the reasons to start this show was, A, so that those of you who dig the solo show would know exactly where to look, but also it was supposed to be more flexible, but I think I've only done one or two of these that have not been sports related. So I don't know if that's going to change or not, but for tonight, we are solidly in the sports world. First, let's start with, if you follow us on social media, specifically Facebook, today we had a post. And if you're not, you really should be. Go to facebook.com/tallcanaudio and hit the like button. You get, you can keep up to date with everything we're doing. All the shows get posted there. And it's 2016 if you're going to be an online property, you kind of have to be on Facebook. You all get that. So, we're going to do a World Cup of Hockey preview show. We will record that Wednesday night, likely post it Thursday morning. Break down the pools, how things are looking heading into it, maybe put a little money. Who's we? Well, as some of you have requested, some of you have dreaded, the usual co-host from the starting point of this network, Rob Christie, will return for the first time since July. As he dragged his lazy ass away, like we've been saying all summer, struck an Al Bundy pose with a beer in one hand and the other hand down his pants, and enjoyed the rest of his summer. So, good for him, I suppose, but he will return to the network this week for an all-new Tall Can Sports. It will be the World Cup of Hockey preview, and may God have mercy on us all. I'm sure after the amount of time he's been away from a microphone, he'll have a lot to say. And he will start to gradually work his way back in. At this point, as we work back into the meat of everything, the playoff baseball is coming. The hockey season's right around the corner. The CFL's in full swing. So there'll be lots to talk about as we move forward. He will also hopefully return, not hopefully, he will, to Audio Whiplash. So things will start to get back to normal around here a little bit, as we promised. But starting this week, Rob Christie will return to Tall Can Sports. Since I've started on hockey, there's two things we're going to talk about here tonight. We're going to talk a little bit of the World Cup preview, the pre-tournament games that have been going on. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Blue Jays. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. We'll get to that. Let's start with hockey because I just finished watching the pre-tournament game, the second pre-tournament game between North America and Europe. another win for the North Americans. It looked like they were going to run them right out. This is a team of, for those of you not fully up to date, this is a team from Canada and the United States made up of all players under 23 years old. Your Jack Eichels, your Connor McDavids, your Austin Matthews, your Morgan Rileys. Did I slip in a couple of Leafs? I slipped in a couple of Leafs. Johnny Gaudreau, right? Terrific players on this team. And holy shit, are they fast. So they are, if I'm not mistaken, the only team that won both of their back-to-backs. They played Europe twice. Canada played the U.S. twice. That was a split. Finland played Sweden twice. I believe that was a split. Excuse me, and the Czechs played the Russians twice. That was a split. For a while, it looked like I said, the North Americans were going to run away with this one. It was 3-0, like 5 minutes in. They had to yank Thomas Greiss. Can't believe a team with Thomas Greiss as its goaltender can't compete in an international competition. So he got yanked in favor of, to be fair, he wasn't ever supposed to be there, I don't believe. Oh, yeah, he was. It was Philip Grubauer, I believe, was the guy who got added when Freddie Anderson went down. Freddie Anderson wasn't going to save this team. The North American kids were way too fast. In the first game, they won 4-0. I believe the final in this one was 6-4. So certainly, at least the Europeans got on the board. But they're not good. They're old and they're slow and they're not good. This was a terrible matchup for them. Maybe they'll be better in the tournament itself. But that was a terrible matchup. That team could not skate with the young guys. Well, it'll be interesting to see if anyone can. The Russians probably can. They don't know how to defend either way. Canada probably can. But the only time we would see them is in a semifinal or a final, I suppose. I don't know. Does this thing have a bronze medal round? I hope not. Those are lame. Canada's not in their pool, so they won't see them for a while. But the Swedes, maybe. It's hard to say, but these kids, they just look so fast, right? So let's not spend all our time on this. It was, despite the score in the second one being more respectable, the most lopsided. I think a lot of people would have predicted that the Russians and the Czechs would have been the most lopsided. The Czechs held their own. A couple of good goaltending performances, and they stayed with it. The Russians, to me, they don't look like they have their shit together. Now, we've talked a little bit about the ridiculous travel involved in this thing. So how many of those Russian guys were at home in Russia? How many were back at their homes in North America? Same with the Swedes and Finns and Czechs. It all had to go back to Europe. But it's ridiculous. This tournament's based in Toronto. Have some games, at least in the same time zone, and then be done with it. To send all these guys to Helsinki and Stockholm and St. Petersburg and so on, it was just a waste of time and money. And money, for sure, is what it was all about, as they tried to sell some tickets there. For, I think most of us assumed everyone would kind of wade into this. There's been some chippy hockey. The Finnish and the Swedish series, man, you could tell they don't like each other. A lot of stick work, a lot of scrums. Certainly the same in the Canada-USA, guys running each other. Ryan Kesler is not only the worst player in those games, but just dog shit. It was fun to see. He tried to injure a couple guys in the first one, and John Tavares just leveled him in the second game. And it's not like John Tavares is an ultra-physical player. But to see somebody step up with a completely legal hit and just bury that guy was fantastic. We talked a little bit about, on a previous one of these, the whole national anthem thing that's going on in the NFL. That continued to be a story. There were guys around the league this weekend who were taking a knee during the anthem. I don't really want to get too much into that, but John Tortorella was, as we talked about on that show, piping away on, oh, if any of my guys ever did that, he'll stay on the bench. And then he backed it up the next day, said the same thing. And it was clear this was going to become a story. And it's also clear that the NHL got in his ear and told him to shut the hell up. He won't talk about it anymore. This is the other beauty part. They also told the media they're not allowed to ask about it anymore. How does that work? How do you get to tell the media? A, how do you get the media to go along with it? Oh, because they're pretty much, especially Sportsnet here, Rogers here, is prepared to just bend over and take it from the NHL because they got a decade worth of a $5 billion investment still in front of them. But it's terrible and it's embarrassing that you can tell the media what to do and the media be okay with it. Anyway, it's a stupid story. I mean, it's not a stupid story, but it's one of those things that nothing happened in hockey. This all happened around the NFL. And John Tortorella decided he needed to pipe up about it. He was asked, but he turned it into a way bigger thing than it needed to be. And then the league had to tell him to shut the hell up. Why anyone is surprised is beyond me. You do know who John Tortorella is, right? Man, just a clown choice. A, for the league to allow it to happen, and I don't understand what hockey, USA Hockey was thinking. This is the guy you want to represent you? Man, give me a break. There's some great coaches in the United States. This guy's not one of them. So, that's a whole other thing. The U.S. beat Canada Friday night. I was going to say the Americans were terribly outplayed. That's probably not fair. But Canada did outshoot them basically 2-1. They didn't have a shot in the third period until the empty net goal. But got a fantastic goaltending performance out of Jonathan Quick and scored a couple timely goals. So that's hockey, and that could just as easy happen in the tournament. These things are all about great goaltending performances. For some reason, Rogers, whenever they talk about USA, and probably because it's the only success they've ever had, or at least the most recent success they've had, keeps bringing up the 1996 World Cup.
Everybody know that's 20 years ago?
That doesn't matter. There's an entire team in this tournament. That Young Guns team, under 23, not one of them is even capable of remembering 1996. But they talk about this like it's 2 months ago. You know, like when a team goes, well, they've lost four of their last five in Canada. Yeah, because that's a two-decade span. What does that mean? We looking for Jeremy Roenick to break out? Mike Richter going to steal this thing again? It's 20 years ago. It was Mike Modano and Jeremy Roenick and Brett Hull against Eric Lindros and Brendan Shanahan, and not one of these guys still in the league. So that's ridiculous. But that's what happened in 96, was Mike Richter stole the whole thing for the Americans. The Americans had a very good team, but so did Canada. Richter was just unbelievable in that, you know, in the whole tournament, but in that best 2 of 3 final, he stole that thing. He was fantastic. So it's certainly within the realm of possibility that Jonathan Quick could do the same thing here. He was great in Sochi. If you remember, in the semifinal, Canada-USA was 1-0. And they were life and death to get that win. Everybody remembers that they kind of cruised past a depleted Swedish team in the final. 1-0 against the Americans in the semi. And Quick was fantastic. So was Price. One shot better. But that could happen. The series turns around, goes to Ottawa on Saturday night, and Canada was far superior. Probably more, and that's with Sidney Crosby in the press box. I think we're all reasonably confident that he's going to play. He didn't have to prove too much, so it was okay to sit him down. So they split it, but man, it was chippy. Guys just taking cheap shots and whacks at each other. Was awesome. Excuse me. It was awesome to watch. Like I said, if you were someone like me who expected them to wade into it a little bit, that did not happen. The Russians and the Czechs, like I said, was the fourth series. The Russians won in Russia. The Czechs won in the Czech Republic. That Czech team was the worst team, probably, maybe Europe, but coming into this thing, and then got decimated by some key injuries, and I think people were looking for them to get rolled. They hung around with the Russians in that game and then managed to beat them in the shootout in the second game. So whether that is the Russians just struggling to get going, whether the Russians are not going to be very good, or whether the Czechs are going to surprise some people, we'll see. But it's funny how it works. Like, only the top two in each pool are coming out. So the one pool is Canada, USA, Czech Republic, Europe. I don't expect Europe to do much. But let's say Canada loses to the US in their round-robin game. And then the Czechs step up and bite you in the ass. That's it. You're done. Like, it's not quite one and out until you get to the playoffs. But it is kind of like that. Someone's going to lose that Canada-US game. And then they're in real trouble because you can't afford a gaffe against one of those other two teams. The other pool, and I don't want to go down this road too far because that's what we're going to do on the preview show with Rob here later this week on Tall Can Sports. But that other pool, North America, Sweden, Russia, Finland. And that North American team looks better than I expected it to. They're not going to defend very well, but they're fast and they're running and gunning. It's going to... I don't know what night it is. I'll make sure I find out before the show. You're going to want to watch North America versus Russia. That is two teams loaded with offensive talent and that doesn't give a shit about defending. That's going to be fireworks. So that's going to be one to watch. So, like I said, they ran these pre-tournament games. Some of them pretty intriguing, some of them pretty dull. There's still a couple to go, and we talked about this before. For some reason, goddamn, Canada-Russia is being played in Pittsburgh. Thanks, Gary. Loving Gary's World Cup. That's ridiculous. Even if this was a cash grab thing, you're going to make way more cash. And like I said, we ran all this down before in the episode titled Gary's World Cup. Aptly named. If you were looking to make money, especially since Canada-Russia aren't in the same pool in the actual tournament, you're an idiot playing it in Pittsburgh. Play it in Montreal. Or Ottawa. Or Winnipeg. Or fucking Kingston. I don't know. Halifax. This is ridiculous. Now, like I said, we broke down the prices and everything and how dumb this whole thing is a couple of shows back. Like I said, Unforced Errors, Gary's World Cup. You can check that out if you're interested in more the business side of it, the ridiculous travel side of it. So we won't go into that tonight. But that's still to come. Every team's going to play a third tune-up game. I think we probably need to move into talking a little bit about this horrifying Blue Jays weekend. Did you happen to catch much of that disaster? Like, honestly, three games against the first place Boston Red Sox, 26 runs against. What? And there's a few things to talk about here, so we're going to get into it. But the people calling for John Gibbons' head after this series, you're crazy. And you don't know what you're talking about. You really just don't. Every pitcher he went to, he made the right moves. Honestly, he did. And he was let down by terrible pitching. I said we gave up 26 runs in three games. J.A. Happ, Grilly, and Osuna on Saturday gave up two. So how's that look now? 24 runs in two games. What would you have had him do? Aaron Sanchez came out of the game on Sunday with irritation on the finger, which people who are smarter than me say that's a precursor to a blister, which is bad news for a baseball pitcher. We all know that. Anyone who's been around since the Al Leiter days remembers that. But it's not like he was pitching well. But we all agreed when he moved Sanchez to pitch on Sunday against in this series, we all loved it. That was the right move. Estrada couldn't get it done on Friday. He's clearly ailing, clearly battling something. He needs to be skipped in the rotation at least once. Now, that was a lot easier to say before the Sanchez situation because it was simple. You leave Sanchez in the rotation and you put Liriano in on Monday, which was already going to happen, and you skip Estrada instead of Sanchez. That may still happen. Maybe they find a way around this. Maybe it's Dickey. I hope it's not Dickey. But, like, honestly, what did you want him to do in the fourth inning? You've now got to patch together your way to the end in both Friday and Sunday's games. And he's using his guys. And it's not like Boston was doing any better. I mean, I guess Friday was. But, like, everybody's been screaming for the Blue Jays offense to get going. Well, they scored 8 runs today. And they gave up 11. Again, that's Sunday. Many of you people are probably listening to this on Monday morning. Today is Sunday, if I keep making that mistake. You can't win that way. You can't give up 11 and win. Last year you could with this offense, but you just can't. On Friday, they just got completely smoked. They had no business being in that game. And they got lucky on Saturday. Hap was outstanding. But again, the team only scored 3 runs. So they can't get it going. When the pitching's going, the bats aren't. That's what happened Saturday. When the bats are going, the pitching isn't. That's what happened Sunday. Got 8 runs. But I'm sick of hearing it's the manager. They have a bad bullpen. They got 2 or 3 good guys. Osuna, good. Grilly, good. Benoit, he's all right. That's it. You'd love to see Cecil get it back, but he hasn't yet. So when your starter can only give you 4 innings, and you can't go to Osuna and Grilly until the 8th and 9th, what do you want him to do? You're mad at management, not at John Gibbons. This is the bullpen they gave him. And if you actually went and looked at the numbers and understood what you were talking about, you would see that the Blue Jays bullpen has pitched the second least amount of innings in baseball. What does that mean? It means the starters go long and you don't have to use all those extra guys. You use your 2 or 3 best. Once your starters stop going deep into the game, stop going 6, 7 innings so that you can bridge right to your best guys, your bullpen's going to get exposed. They have to pitch, and they're going to pitch poorly because they're not good. We've been saying this all year. Some of you just haven't been listening. And I'm tired of having the debate on Tall Can Sports on Twitter. It's tiring. When your starters can get you 7 innings, you go right to your best options in the bullpen, and you skip the garbage that's sitting out there with it. When your starting pitching goes in the tank, like the Blue Jays have for the last couple of weeks, at the worst possible time, now you got to use them. Now you get exposed. And for some reason, some of you think the best thing you can do at that point is to yell at the manager for using him. Well, what would you have done? I'd have used piece of trash C instead of piece of trash B. Oh, okay. Come on. Baseball's tough. It's 162 days, and so or 162 games, so it comes at you every single day. And there's a lot of highs and lows. There's a lot of emotion. But the beauty is you get to do it again the next day and forget about it. Your favorite football team loses? Man, you got to sit on that all week. But for some reason, Jays fans just don't want to look at the numbers. They just want to jump up and down. Fire the manager. Fire the general manager. Fire the guy who gave him that bullpen. Because there was nothing Gibbons could have done in this series. The defense was bad on Friday. Nothing he can do about that. The bullpen was terrible on Sunday. Nothing he can do about that. We're lucky to be only 2 games back. unless Hap is as fantastic as he was on Saturday, you're four games back. And it's over. Maybe you're grabbing a wild card, but you're done chasing the division. As it sits now, you're two games back with 20 games to go. Yeah, you got to go out west. You got Tampa coming in this week who seems to own us and only us. It's going to be tough, but it's not over. I'm just tired of the Gibbons debate. They're not firing him. At least not in September while you're in a pennant race. Use your head. Do a little research. Look at the numbers before you jump up and down and scream because you're upset that the Jays didn't do what you wanted them to do. They didn't do what I wanted them to do either. It's important to understand why. This has become pretty preachy, don't you think? Some of you people need it. Some of you don't. I'm sure you all think you're that person. Some of you need to hear the hard truth. There are reasons this is happening, and it's not as simple as just yelling at the coach, yelling at the manager. This was a disaster of a weekend, and it could have been worse. That's what you should take away from this. Be pumped you got that one game and you're only two back. Still in it. Still own a wild card spot and still within reach of the division. But man, things have to change. And it's the starters. That bullpen, that leopard's not going to change its spots. It's not good. So you need to have your starters get you past it. The offense will be fine. It comes and goes. It's going to be fine. It's too good to not. Like I said, they scored eight today. If your bullpen is even decent, forget great, you win that game. But you got two good arms out there, and you only use them when you're up, and they were not up. On Twitter, at TallCanSports, not that I have to ask for this, but tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why we should all just throw a little temper tantrum, say it's over, and throw our remote at our TV, and then be back in the same place on Monday at 7 o'clock, claiming I never left. I'm hardcore. I always knew it would be okay. Tell me why I'm wrong. Facebook.com/TallCanAudio, at TallCanSports on Twitter for the sports conversations. We will be back this week with at least a TallCanSports. Maybe we'll squeeze in an audio whiplash as well. But Captain Blowhard makes his return this week to TallCanSports when we preview the World Cup of Hockey. No doubt there'll be other stuff coming out of the studio over the course of the week. Stick around for that. Thanks for joining us. My name is Matt Robinson. This has been Unforced Errors.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.